I'd like us to turn back to Acts chapter 9. We've entitled our message this morning, A Faithful Servant. And with the Word of God just open before us, can we seek the Lord, please, for needed help as we come to the preaching of His Word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We bless Thee for the singing of the congregation. We thank the Lord for their sacrificial giving. We ask, O God, that we might be those who trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We ask that Thou would settle us, Lord, as we come to Thy Word. Take away every distraction. O God, we pray that Thou would cause us, Lord, to remember Thou, God, seest me. Lord, you see what we're at every day of the week. Aye, and even when we're in the house of God. We ask, Lord, that Thou would guard our hearts. Prepare these hearts to receive Thy Word. That end, I pray, Thou would fill us with Thy Holy Spirit and with power. Anoint us, Lord, with fresh oil. Lord, we've been thinking of Thy servant who Thou hast called home. Lord, how he had anointed ministry. Now he has entered in, he's seen the King. Lord, we pray in a little while that remains for us, that, Lord, we might preach Christ. We might uplift Him before the hearts of men and women. We might have that ministry that's owned and blessed of Thee. Do abide with us, we pray these things. In our Savior's name. Amen. To those who doubt God's Word, there are two things in particular which they would like to disprove if they could. One is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. But try as they may, they will never be able to do so. For God's Word is truth. It cannot be overturned by those puny men who think they have so-called intellect. It is above the reproach and the argument of men, of any man. And God's Word will stand the test of time. The Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again according to the Scriptures, and He is exalted, and He lives today in the power of an endless life. And of Saul, who was to be renamed Paul, there are not many who have not heard of him. And it was through his pen that the Holy Spirit has given us over half the books of the New Testament. And when we're brought to this passage in Acts chapter 9, then the opening words reveal to us that Saul at this juncture of his life was by no means a supporter of the Church of Jesus Christ. Indeed, while the Apostle Philip was in the midst of revival, and while he was knowing the leading of the Spirit to bring him down into the wilderness to meet that Ethiopian eunuch, and while he was brought to other places to preach the Word and to see souls saved, Saul was busy threatening and persecuting the disciples of the Lord. That was his intention as he set out for the city of Damascus. He sought to persecute the believers there as well. But as we are well aware, he was never to carry out his intentions. Because on the way there, the Lord stopped him. And the Lord was to reveal Himself to him. And Saul was to be gloriously converted. But broken and submissive before the Lord, his cry was, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? He was a changed man. He wanted to know the will of God for his life. And Saul in due time would receive a new commission from the Lord. But it is to the man who was to deliver this vital message unto him that I want us to look at this morning. You see, there's not much that is said about Ananias. We have met with another one by the same name in Acts chapter 5, but that man is dead and he's in the ground, as it were, because he sought to lie and deceive against the Lord. And just as there is a soul in the Old Testament, we are brought to consider that God has a better soul in the New Testament. And so in like manner, likewise, here's a better Ananias than the previous one. Here is a better man, for he was a faithful servant. I want you to consider with me the word from God to him. Following the stoning of Stephen, it was then that the believers went everywhere preaching the gospel, and the city of Damascus was no exception. For we are introduced to this man in the words of verse 10 of this chapter, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. His name was Ananias. We're told that he was a disciple. In other words, we're looking at a man who was saved. And before we're introduced to him, here was a man who was a follower of Christ. The gospel had reached him. The gospel had found him. And he was converted. And that being so, I want you to notice his call. God calls the unsaved to salvation through the preaching of the gospel. Through the foolishness of preaching. God calls his people to separation from sin. God calls his people to supplication and prayer. For men ought always to pray and not to faint. We are to come boldly unto the throne of heavenly grace. He calls his people to sanctification, as the Lord has commanded, be holy, for I am holy. That's an ongoing work. But he also calls his people to service. And here Ananias was to have such a call. The Lord spoke to him through a vision. We are told in verse 10, and you will be aware that now we have the complete canon of God's Word, that the Lord speaks to us through His Word. There's no longer any need for dreams. There's no longer any use for the visions or for prophets. Those things are gone. Those things are past. And now God has given us His complete canon of Scripture. But in this vision, Ananias was to hear God calling him by name. Verse 10, Ananias. Oh, praise God this morning. He knows each of us people by name. I have called thee by thy name. I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. Can God say that of you this morning? This call to Ananias is very similar to that of young Samuel in the temple. For in 1 Samuel 3, we read that the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And the Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Then so we have here a similar willingness from Ananias. You look at the verse 10, he says, behold, I am here, Lord. And you'll notice in the Authorized Version, our translators have helped us, because I'm here is in italics, and in other words, it's not in the original. He simply answered, behold, I, Lord. And he gives the sense, the impression, that he was ready as a servant to hear from his master. He was a Christian who was in touch with the Lord. He heard the Lord speaking to him. He recognized the voice of the Lord, because he wasn't a stranger to spending time with the Lord and to hearing the Lord speak to him. And he was a believer who had a willingness to do whatever the Lord bid him. If you come over just a few chapters to chapter 22, you consider Paul's latter testimony about Ananias, and indeed of this very passage in which we're reading this morning. And you'll see and you'll understand that here was a servant of God who Paul considered as devout. Verse 12, chapter 22, and one Ananias, and here he's testifying, he's recalling this day, and the Lord saved him. He says, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Ananias was a devout man. Ananias was one called of God to be possibly the first believer that Saul would be in conversation with. He was a man whom the Lord could use. And his godly character and attention to God's word was not lost in Saul. Here's a man who had a good report among the Jews where he dwelt. He had a good testimony. What about you? Have you such a testimony among people? Have you heard the call of God in service? Is there that willingness to be about what the Lord bid you? Are you that vessel fit and ready for the Master's use? You'll notice not only His call but His command. For having intimated His willingness, He then was to hear what His charge was to be in the words of verse 11. The Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Ananias, I want you to get up. I want you to go along to that street which is called Straight. I want you to go to the house of Judas, and there you will find a man by the name of Saul. And just in case you're not sure of who he is, he's Saul of Tarsus. The command of the Lord was clear to his disciples. There's no confusion with the Lord. He directs the steps of a good man. They're ordered by the Lord. He had an errand to meet with this man, Saul of Tarsus. He had a message to give unto him. And the Lord was directing him right into this very presence. How? For the Lord knoweth where each of His people are to be found. And I'm not merely speaking in the physical sense. I'm speaking in the spiritual context. The Lord knows where you are this morning. The Lord knows in what state your heart is in this morning before Him. Whether you're walking with God, whether you're in tune with God, or whether you're depending on some past experience of years ago. The Lord knows where you are. The Lord knew where this man was. You see, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous eye, and His ear is open unto their cry. He knows the soul in adversity this morning. He knows the one that's in distress today. He knows the one who needs that little word of encouragement to be given unto themselves. He knows your need and my need. And what an honor this was for Ananias. For he was to go to this man called Saul, and he was to give him a word in season that would start and encourage him and direct him on the road of great service for God. Tell me, has not the Lord commanded us just to be the same? Even in using the words of the hymn writer, is your life a channel of blessing? You'll notice also this word to Ananias concerning the convert. How do I know that? Well, you look at the end of verse 11, where it says, one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. It is as if God was saying to Ananias, you've heard of this man. But do not be afraid to go into his presence, for he is a man who's no longer a persecutor, but instead he's given to prayer. There'd been that change wrought in his life. What's a sure indication of a true conversion? It's this, behold, he or she prayeth. A converted sinner will feel their need to humble themselves and seek God's mercy and seek His righteousness, and to hear it said of one, behold, he prayeth. It speaks more about their character and their standing with God than anything else. Real praying is a sign of a real conversion. Let that sink in. And this Ananias was to be an answer to Saul's prayers. You look at verse 12. And I've seen in a vision, he's speaking about Paul now, a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. The vision that Ananias had corresponded to the vision that Saul had. See that? That makes a nonsense over the much of the stuff that is put out by the Pentecostal and charismatic these days. Oh, the Holy Spirit told me such and such. Told me to go somewhere that is contrary to the Word of God. You see, the vision that Ananias had corresponded, it was exactly the same as the vision that Saul had. Why? Because there's no confusion with God. There's no contradictions with God. He's a God of order. The name Ananias means whom God has graciously favored or given. And God in His grace and favor had a man there whom He could send to Saul as a new convert. I am convinced of God's people that God has us in this part of the vineyard, and He has us in that place in which you're found so that you may reach out. And that you may be a means not only of praying for that soul or souls and seeing them saved, but of being that encouragement to them. The greatest favor of God to this time, the greatest favor of God to our little province, is not prosperity. It's not new businesses coming in. Those are all good things. They have their place. But the greatest favor of God is His people who are walking and who are listening and who are obedient to His word. It's the greatest favor. Can we put ourselves in there? Not only the word of the Lord, but I want you to see the reservations of this servant. While the word of God was clear and plain to Ananias, and while he was in the right place with God, yet we cannot but notice that there's a hint of reluctance in his part. Look at verse 13. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem." And you notice that his reservation was because of the reports that he had heard. The news had come to him of the sort of man that Saul of Tarsus had been. It could well have been the case that Ananias had been in contact with those believers who had fled from his persecution. Ananias was well aware that this man, he had caused havoc in the church of Jesus Christ. The reports that he had heard were many. Dear people, it is always wise to beware of hearsay and rumor. And it's always wise to test it, to see if it is true or not. Indeed, can I take you back just to enforce that point? This is what the Scriptures teach. And people, you know, they love to have that little bit of rumor. And they love to be the first to lay hold upon that little tidbit, and they get on to someone else and they add to it. Let's remember what the Lord says here. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And here is Moses, God's servant, imparting this very truth to the children of Israel before they crossed over into Canaan. Look at the words of verse 12 of chapter 13 of Deuteronomy. "If thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee there to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their cities, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known." You'll notice verse 12 says, we're dealing with hearsay. You've heard say. You've heard that rumor that there are those certain men, their children who are useless, their children of Belial. and they're seeking to take the children of Israel away to worship other gods. Look at verse 14. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely, and so forth. And you see how many checks and balances there are in that one verse 14. Thou shalt inquire, thou shalt make search, thou shalt seek it diligently, and if it is truth and the thing certain. There's five steps you are to check over that which is a rumor or a hearsay to find out if it is truth or not. Or if it's not truth, you cut it off. You do not pass it on. And Ananias had heard the reports. And the sense of Ananias' argument was this: Lord, the reports can't all be wrong. I have heard many reports about this man. And because of those reports that he had reservations. And to add to that, you'll see that his reservations were because of the reputation that this man had. Verse 13, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. That evil included persecuting the church, those who had forsaken the old Jewish ways and had turned to be followers and disciples of Christ. It included committing men and women to prison. It included, by the words of Paul himself, as he spoke of his unsaved days, that he was a blasphemer and he was injurious. And that little word injurious, it comes from a root which means to hurt and to treat shamefully. He opposed the name of Christ. He opposed his work. And whatever he did, whether it was against God or against his people, he did it with a despising spirit. There was venom and there was violence in his actions. And that's the sort of reputation that he had in his unsaved days. You hear him speak himself as he does in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. Where he says, for ye have heard of my conversation. And the word goes on further than just merely speech. It talks about behavior and demeanor. He says, you've heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That's his own confession in his unsaved days. That speaks to us of what his intentions were. He pursued after the people of God in a hostile manner, harassing them and mistreating them with one intention only, and that was to overthrow the Christian faith and to see the church of Christ destroyed. For you see verse 23 of Galatians 1, it says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And the word destroyed there is the same word as wasted in verse 13. He sought to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. This man in his unsaved days was going about doing the work of the devil. For the devil always has his aim and intention to destroy the church of Christ and the Christ of God. It was his intention that he would destroy the plan of God's salvation right from the beginning of time. For he heard of the promise of the seed that would come forth of the woman, and that's why he caused Cain to rise up and to slay his brother Abel, because the devil thought that Christ would come through Abel's line. It was instead to come through the line of Seth. And you go right down through church history, right down the books of the Old Testament, right until the time where the Savior himself was to be taken and nailed to that cross. Even then the devil and his crowd sought to get him to come down from the cross and to leave the work of redemption unfinished. Matthew 27, in the words of verse 40, he said, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. And there the devil and his crowd desired and wanted Christ to come down from the cross. Why? So that he could not cry at the end of it all, it is finished. If Christ came down from the cross, then not one of us could be saved. But having failed at Calvary, for there the devil's head was bruised, it still is his intention, it still is his purpose to afflict and destroy the church of Jesus Christ and his witness. The devil still uses his crowd to persecute and cause havoc among the people of God. Maybe there are many churches that you can think of in this land. And if their reputation is not one of providing a social center where another gospel is proclaimed, something maybe that is akin to an entertainment center, and maybe they have a reputation of always contending against each other and being at one another's throats. Either way, the devil is willing. Either way, the devil is having his way, and ultimately the witness of God suffers as a result. Oh, to ever have that reputation. There's a church that preaches Christ and Him crucified. There's a church that preaches the Word of God in all its fullness. There's a church where your soul will be blessed and under the sound of God's Word. There's an assembly where there's a sweet fellowship one with another. Oh, that we might have that reputation. That there's a church where you will receive a welcome and a warmth and a friendliness from God's people. Ananias didn't fancy going to see this man Saul because of the reputation he had. Therein he had his reservations. But he was reserved also because of the reception he feared he would receive. Look at verse 14. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Ananias is thinking, Lord, this man has caused much hurt among thy church in Jerusalem, and he has come here with that authority to do the same to thy people. And Lord, I am one of thy people. I am one that calls on thy name. He feared he would be like a lamb in the mouth of a lion. Maybe there is a deeper fear, and it was this. Would him going to this man of any effect? Would it be of any good purpose? Would it be worth his while going to this man, for everyone knew the sort of man that he was? If there was ever a hardened sinner whom it seemed could never be changed or saved, it was Saul of Tarsus. You see, what his reservations amount to is a lack of faith. Not only in what God had already said to him, but also a lack of faith in the power of God to save such a sinner. He can save the hardest of sinners. Do you think the same concerning that man or that woman in your heart? Do you have the doubts as to whether God could really save them? Maybe even that loved one that you've been praying for years. Humanly speaking, it seems impossible that the Lord could ever soften their hearts and save their soul. They just go from one day to the next and there's no thought of God. They don't want people talking to them about the gospel. They don't want people sharing with them Christ. And to look at them, humanly speaking, you fear that God could ever save that soul. I put it to you that Saul stands as an example of hope, an example for you to not give up praying. Listen to his own words in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If God could save the one who considered himself to be the worst of sinners, the chiefest of sinners, then he can save and he can give a new heart to that heart and soul that's on your heart, whether it be in this congregation or in this town or in your family. Why? Because there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Maybe you are the hardest sinner in my congregation this morning. And God can smite you. And God can save you. And in an instant of a moment, you can be changed. Born again of His Spirit. Let me show you His response. For the Lord was to dismiss His reasoning and His reservations. And he was to reveal to Ananias that this man was a chosen vessel who would bear his name primarily to the Gentile people, but also before kings and to the children of Israel. And how that was to be fulfilled in his ministry as he preached to the Gentile people and in the cities and in Rome, you can see in the books that follow how he stood before King Agrippa and others. How he preached Christ unto those that were found in the synagogue. Look at verse 20, we didn't read it. And straightway, this is Saul, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And do you see what the response of this faithful servant is? Yes, one who was maybe lacking in faith, but God can use us. Even though our faith be small at times, do you see what he does? It's a readiness to obey. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way. And he entered into the house. He went his way. He went in obedience to the command and the call of God. What is God looking from His people today? What obedience? Where's the blessing of God to be found most? It is when we trust and obey. You see, also there's a readiness for him to own him as brother. He went his way, he entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul. Brother Saul. Gone are the doubts, gone are the fears. He calls him a fellow believer. He recognizes that he was one who had experienced the saving grace of God in his life from being reluctant to be anywhere in the presence of this man. He gladly receives him as a brother in the Lord. He was in union with Christ, just in the same way that Ananias was in union with Christ. He was part of the same family of God. Only the Lord could change such a man. Only the Lord could cause such a change in a life and cause the barriers to be broken down. His response was a readiness to open his mouth and deliver the message that God had laid on his heart. Verse 17, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeareth unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The content of that message is brought out even more so in Acts 22, which we were looking at just earlier on. You look at this time in the words of verse 14 of Acts 22. He said, here's Saul recalling it. He said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst bear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. He had asked the Lord on that road, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And now Saul has got his answer. He was one who was called of God to be an apostle. The criteria of an apostle was one who had seen the Lord and had heard the Lord. That's why there are no more any apostles living today. Saul had that experience on the road to Damascus, not only his disciples, but Saul had that experience. He had seen the Lord, the risen Lord, and he had heard his voice. He speaks of himself as one born out of due time. And he was to go forth and be a witness unto all men that the Messiah had come, that he had died, and he rose again according to the Scriptures, and that he was the only Savior of a lost mankind. We all know, men and women, how Paul was to go forth and fulfill his calling. How he preached powerfully Christ and Him crucified, and of the risen exalted Lord, and he was to see souls saved, and he was to see churches established throughout those cities. What was his secret? Was this. With this I close. Saul, like Stephen. That man whose testimony Saul had heard, that man, indeed he was an accomplice to his death as he was stoned. Like Stephen, Saul was a man full of the Holy Ghost. That's the message that Ananias brought to him in verse 17. For understand, that being filled with God's Spirit is always in connection with prayer. The church, the early church, Acts 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God answered their prayer. You want to be effective for God? You want to have an impact on the souls of others? Then you too need that daily infilling of His Holy Spirit. You're saved, the Holy Spirit abides within. The indwelling. But we daily need the infilling of the Spirit of God. Luke 11:13, if ye be an evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them and ask Him. Pray that before you leave your house in the morning. Lord, fill me with Thy Spirit today that I may walk as Thou would have us to walk. I trust the Lord would grant us to have a readiness of Ananias, to be faithful to the Lord's bidding, to know that power in our walk for God, and to witness days again where God's Spirit is striving and convicting sinners and bringing them to Christ in salvation. Maybe you're that person today. God has spoken to you and He's convicting you. You don't know what's wrong with your life. You can't sleep right. You can't eat right. You can't do your work right. It's God dealing with you. May not settle the old account this morning. You're not coming to see it. Thank God His power is still the same. I trust the Lord will bless His word. Our hearts this morning. Let's bow. A word of prayer in closing, please. Father and our God, we thank Thee for this passage, for this servant that we've been looking at. And oh God, how he was faithful to go at Thy bidding and to impart that message unto Brother Saul. We've seen, Lord, that he wasn't a man with great faith. Lord, we thank Thee Thou can use us even though we have that little measure of faith. Lord, we recognize it's not the amount of faith that matters. It's where it's placed. Oh, we thank the Lord for saving faith that is placed in Christ and His work alone. We pray that Thou would bring souls even this morning to that very experience where they will have their eyes opened. They will call upon Thee to save them and to make them a disciple of Christ. Lord, answer prayer. Part us with Thy blessing. Give us a blessed Sabbath. And Thou will bring us back again tonight. For we pray these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.